Let's welcome to the She Got Real podcast for the second time. I joined us, I think, sometime last year, but he's agreed to come on again, Ben Batcher. Welcome.
Yeah, excited to be back on. I enjoyed it last time and good to go again.
Let me start with the grand final last year. When you look back at that, what do you think went wrong? Why didn't you win?
Look, I think Gordon won the big moments more than us. We certainly had our opportunities to win it. I think we made a couple of line breaks with Matt Gonzalez, another one where we could have put Anthony on the sideline. Obviously, everyone talks about that scrum session as well. So, you know, we take our opportunities there and it's a different ball game. But, you know, Gordon took their opportunities and that's what you've got to do in a big game, take your chances. And they took theirs and full credit to them. They were the best side all year. Any man can win on the day, but they were the better team on the day as well. So it was just the way it sort of went down.
Do you find the team is more motivated after you didn't win? You know, they get the trophy on that occasion?
I know, I certainly am. As a coach and, you know, being a person, you know, as a player, I lost grand finals before. So, you know, I think I can feel that amongst the group as well in terms of, you know, they're all excited to get back in. We had a really good preseason and, you know, they're putting their best foot forward. So I think it is in the back of your mind a little bit. So, yeah, I know there's an old adage, you know, you've got to lose one to win one. So, look, hopefully that's true for us.
Was there any kind of, not revenge, but, I mean, you know, beating Gordon at Chatswood just a couple of weeks back, that must have felt pretty good.
Yeah, it does. And everyone always talks about grand final rematches and everything, but realistically, you know, they're different teams. But at the same time, of course you want to win and does it make up for a grand final loss? No way, not even close. But, you know, it's, you know, 1/100th of a bit of revenge, I guess. So, yeah, it was nice.
So we're 9 rounds into the year. We're kind of at the halfway point, more or less. What grade do you give yourself? How do you view Eastwood's start to the season?
Well, I'd say we're about a 7.5 out of 10. If I was going to do a sort of grading system, B+, maybe, if you want to look at it that way. So, you know, we are sitting sort of, was it 5-3, including the bye. So, you know, that's not perfect. But if you look at the games we've lost each of those games by, you know, 3 or 4 points. So, and we had a chance to win all those games. And I guess we've probably had one of the tougher draws to start with as well, playing all the top 7 teams. So, I think we're, you know, reasonably well positioned, and we've also had a lot of changes in our team. The fact we haven't been able to field the same team twice hasn't been great for cohesion. So I think we're sitting in a, you know, we're not in the great spot, not in the bad spot. So in that nice little middle area, it's, you know, a good spot.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that kind of cohesion. And I think last year, for me, one of the things that played a big part in you getting to the grand final was kind of that dynamic you had with Tane Edmund at 10 and Chris Bell at 15 and the way they sort of juggled the playmaker sort of role. This year, you haven't had as much Tane with him playing in the Waratahs. Has that disrupted at all?
Yeah, we actually have had a fairly disrupted first 9 rounds in terms of just different personnel. As you mentioned, sort of Tano and Belly sort of popped out of 10. You know, 3 or 4 times. We lost Michael Isley to the Melbourne Rebels. Another key player, Noka Muliufi's missed a couple of games through injury and a head knock. We've had a couple of 13s change. They're all key positions. Ed Craig's sort of been in and out of the hooking role as well. Paddy Seo, our number 8, he's missed a number of games due to work commitment. So, yeah, we haven't had the same cohesion, and we were very lucky last year and we were able to keep, you know, predominantly the main 15 on the field the whole time, which does help. With your combination. So, but on the flip side of that, look, we've given other guys an opportunity. So that's built good depth, and, you know, injuries are going to be inevitable probably. So, you know, I think we're in a good position depth-wise now. Now at the back end of the year, we'll look for combinations to improve.
Yeah. Mark Nwakwanitawase and Edmund both played, yeah, for a bit of Super Rugby this year. Do you expect to get them back immediately now that the Super Rugby's wrapped up?
Yeah, I'd say so. Those two would be probably the only two we sort of get back. And look, they've played a couple of games throughout the year as well and have been excellent. So really looking forward to having them. But then, you know, we'll get Ed Craig as well. He's done with his Melbourne duties. Unfortunately, we won't get sort of Timmy Anstey and Lockie Anderson. They're in 7s commitments. And another one of our guys, Steve Cummins, down in Melbourne. I think he's heading overseas. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of teams bolstered by about 7 or 8 players. We'll get 2, but we'll make the best of it.
I have asked pretty much everyone who's come on the podcast this, but you're quite possibly one of the best people to answer it, given you have, as you sort of touched on before, played all the form teams. You've played Uni, you've played Norths, you've played Gordon, Warringah Easts. Who do you like? Who are you kind of looking at and saying at the pointy end of the season, they will be there?
Yeah, it's a good question because they've all sort of got their different strengths and weaknesses. So Sydney University, they don't play with the football, so they're sort of a totally different beast, but they punish you for any error. And they're obviously really good in terms of their systems and their execution. So, but we sort of proved against them, we got 48 points against them. So, they're not unbreakable.
No.
Norse, on the other hand, they want to hold the football for a long period of time. And they really challenge you defensively. So they're a good team. But then you look at a couple of dark horses like, Randwick, by the end of the year, they'll have, every one of their players in the back line, 9 to 15, will be fully contracted. So they're dangerous. And then East as well, they always get a plethora of Super Rugby players back. So look, it's really hard to say. The easy way to say it is Uni. But I definitely think there'll be another three or four teams really pushing hard.
You look at the next sort of 4 weeks, I think, for you guys. It does get easier, as you alluded to. You have Penrith this week. You've got Manly the week after. You have Randwick at home the week after that, and then West Harbour. I mean, you're probably looking at 4 wins, but are we talking 4 bonus point wins, or what are you aiming for?
Look, most games we go into, we're looking for the bonus point win, so that won't change. I think what we're really focused on over this next 4 weeks is really having high standards of our own performance. So we want to sort of build a bit of momentum. People say they're easier games, but they're certainly not games. If you don't turn up, you don't win those games.
True.
So we've got to be at our best, and we just want to keep building and building. That's the key for us. And even if you play a so-called lesser team, we want to play to the Eastwood Rugby standard or act as if we're playing Sydney University. So that's something that we're really striving for as a team, is finding that consistency, which all the good teams have.
And as a head coach, there's a bit of a change of tack. As a head coach, we had the New South Wales Junior Championships over the week, at the long weekend. Do you spend any time kind of looking at the juniors?
Yeah, we're sort of lucky at Eastern. We've sort of had actually all the juniors up the last 2 weeks. They've come in. The boys have presented jerseys. They've watched us train. We do a little thing where the Eastwood, say first grade 12's got to find the under 15, 12, and they have a chat and everything. So
Yeah.
we really try to build a connection with
That's
our
fine.
juniors, which is one of the better ones. And we check on all those state championship results. We're not like rugby league and signing people up at 15 or 16, but definitely keep an eye on it.
You would have seen the proposal put to clubs for the 2022 season, with all the kind of requirements detailed, proposed requirements to field a club. From what I can gather, from what I've been reading, 7 clubs supported it, and then 6 didn't. And Eastwood were originally reported to be one of the 7 that did. And then it looks like they were. What's the story there? What were kind of Eastwood's position on it?
Look, I just coach the footy team, so it's
No,
not my
okay.
position to look at the direction of football. But I know in terms of Eastwood, we do also want to see the strongest competition in New South Wales and make Shoot Shield the premier, rugby competition below Super Rugby. So, I think everyone realises that things have to change in order for that to happen. But at the same time, we certainly don't want to see the killing off of some of the older clubs and the clubs a little bit west. They obviously the Two Blues and Penrith being the main one sort of thing. So, I think Eastwood and don't quote me on this. I think we sort of sit somewhere in the middle. We want change. We want the right change.
Sort of on like, okay, what would like personally you suggest, just as your kind of personal opinion?
Look, for me personally, I think it's quite a big burden on the clubs to have, I'm not sure what the proposal is, but at the moment it's sort of, 4 grades and 3 colts. That takes a hell of a lot of volunteers. It takes a hell of a lot of resources. And if you want to make Shoot Shield a little bit more elite, I'd be sort of looking at 2 and 2 personally. Two grade teams and 2 colts teams sort of thing. That's my personal opinion. That's no one at Eastwoods. That's just me being a rugby person. I guess the first grade coach a little bit. Just looking at how you create, the next level. If we're going to shoot you, it's going to be the next tier for Super Rugby. I think that's the best model.
Do you think the NRC kind of has a role to play at all? Would you sort of support kind of seeing that being brought back in some capacity?
Look, it's really hard on that because what we've tried, twice now and we've failed. So I don't know. Is it 3 times lucky or? And I think if you do the NRC, it's going to be, a 5 or 6 year proposal. I mean, 5 or 6 year effort before it starts yielding dividends in terms of, finances, support, and things like that. So, for me, I, some people every now and then they'll float it out the fact that, why don't the top five of Sydney play the top five of Brisbane and then the top two of Canberra? And I think that's a little bit better for me personally, just because it keeps the fans, a little bit more tribal. The Eastwood fans will support the Eastwood, and the Brisbane fans will support their Brisbane clubs rather than trying to build a whole new team. But that model also comes with its own problems, because then you might feel that the talented players will only play for five or six clubs in the top club. So yeah, well, it's certainly not an easy one, and smarter than people than me have obviously tried to get the solution. But yeah, that's something that I would look into. NRC, it's certainly in New South Wales, we failed to, embrace it, that's for sure. We just turned it into an under-20s comp. Meanwhile, Queensland picked two of their best teams. So that's a bit of a fault of New South Wales as well.
Lastly, do you have an update at all? Obviously, we know the clubs are making moves to move into kind of the Hills district. Do you have an update at all on the field, how that's coming along, when you expect to be playing there?
And I think that's going to be a fairly long process in terms of it's got
Gosh.
to get through councils and everything. So I'm honestly not 100% sure. I know originally we were shooting for, what are we, 2022. It'll be 2022 or 2023, I'm pretty sure, but I can't say with any certainty, unfortunately.
Ben Batchett, thank you so much for your time.
No problem at all. Pleasure to be on.